supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Around 120 AstraZeneca employees in Wilmington, Delaware are losing their jobs as the company eliminates 700 sales and non-sales positions nationwide. WHYY's Zoe Reed has more on today's announcement.
The international biopharmaceutical company says the layoffs follow a drop in U.S. revenues. The move will leave about 1,500 AstraZeneca employees in Delaware. A company statement says the cuts are in the best interest of our future and assures laid-off employees will be provided with internal and external assistance and support. Richard Heffron of the State Chamber of Commerce says Delaware should focus on the kinds of businesses that are flourishing in the state.
It's always disappointing when you see corporations cut employees, but we've discussed it before. The world's changing. You've got to react to it. The positive thing is J.P. Morgan is expanding and hiring more people, and that's what you need to focus on. Companies that are expanding and companies that we can entice to come here and open operations.
Congressman John Carney and U.S. Senator Tom Carper say they are disappointed and promise to support the company and those affected. From the Delaware Desk, I'm Zoe Reed, WHYY News.
The city of Philadelphia is cracking down on predatory towing, as WHYY's Katie Culinary explains.
Right now, tow truck drivers in Philadelphia only have to take a picture of an illegally parked car before hauling it off to an impound lot. But thanks to a bill passed by city council, they'll soon have to wait for a police or parking authority officer to ticket the car first. For years, city officials have received complaints from drivers who say their cars were towed from legal spots. Councilwoman Maria Quiñones Sanchez sponsored the bill.
There is grand auto theft happening in the city every day.
But towing company owners say having to wait for an officer will cut down on the volume of their businesses. Anthony Kitt was one of several tow truck drivers who showed up at City Hall asking council to delay the vote.
You have a bill being passed that goes against everybody when they know who the bad guys are. You know, the names has been blasted all over the news. They have video of what's going on. And you affect the lives and, you know, lifestyles of a lot of people behind with the bad doings of a few.
Instead of putting off the vote, Quiñones Sanchez agreed to delay enforcement of the new rule for 30 days once it's signed by the mayor. She says the city will create a hotline so tow truck drivers can call the right law enforcement agency responsible for ticketing illegally parked cars and get a faster response.
In the interim, the bad actors continue to steal cars, and so this is about protecting consumers right now.
She says all the agencies involved will meet on Tuesday to get down to work. Katie Culinary, WHYY News.
This week, more than 450 families have been released from two immigrant detention centers in Texas. Now, that's on the heels of a county court ruling that the federal facilities break state law there by detaining kids and unrelated adults together. WHYY's Laura Benchoff reports that the decision could have implications for a similar detention center in Pennsylvania.
Texas Public Radio reporter Joey Palacios says immediately after the ruling, women and children flooded out of the centers to area nonprofits and church groups.
You know, when I first got there were mattresses strewn everywhere. The cafeteria was full of mattresses, the sanctuary was full of mattresses, the upstairs hallways were full of mattresses.
A video he took shows pews full of kids and volunteers stockpiling cold medicine to treat the sick. While Federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement released a statement that the high number of releases are part of quote-unquote normal operations, Palacios says it's not.
ICE has said that this release of migrants has nothing to do with the judge's ruling. The attorneys that are helping these folks don't believe that.
Like the families held in Pennsylvania's Burks Family Residential Center, these women and children fled violence in Central America. And detained or not, they'll still have to pass an asylum test to be allowed to remain in the U.S. The federal government insists family detention is an important immigration policy. But Temple University law professor Jennifer Lee says this week's events show states also have a say.
States are beginning to recognize that under state laws that exist to protect children, that family detention can't exist.
In Pennsylvania, the State Department of Human Services decided not to relicense the facility in Berks County early this year, citing many of the same grounds as in the Texas case. ICE appealed that decision, and the center's still open. Nearly 90 women and children are staying at the Pennsylvania Detention Center. For WHYY, I'm Laura Benshoff.
Counties and municipalities across Pennsylvania appear to have misspent millions of dollars meant to offset the negative effects of the Marcellus Shale gas boom. State Impact Pennsylvania's Marie Cusick has more on a new local report from the State Auditor General. It found that some local governments violate the spirit, if not the letter, of the law.
In 2013, a year after the natural gas impact fees became law, then-Governor Tom Corbett held a press conference in Williamsport to talk about all the good the money was doing.
Governor Corbett.
Corbett, a Republican, was a big supporter of the gas industry and pointed to the high-paying jobs and new money flowing into the state's economy. But he also acknowledged drilling brought disruptions.
What do you do to take care of the impact on the communities?
While most other states have a severance tax on oil and gas production, Pennsylvania's impact fees are a unique structure, where Marcellus Shale drillers pay a fee for each well. So far, it's brought in about $200 million a year, with most of the money going back to communities where drilling is happening. At the time, Corbett said it was meant to address things like increases in crime, housing shortages, and wear and tear on roads.
There's so many areas that can impact. The local roads, the local bridges could be impacted. And who better to know where to spend the money than the county commissioners, the township supervisors, the mayors, not necessarily Harrisburg.
But 3 years later, what is the money being used for? Auditor General Eugene DePasquale decided to take a closer look. He was a Democratic legislator when the law passed and points out that he voted against it. But he says the expectation at the time was the money would address impacts from gas development. However, when his office recently reviewed expenditures from a handful of local governments, they found more than $20 million, or about a quarter of the money reviewed, went to questionable items.
Where we are seeing a problem with the spending is when local governments fail to connect the expenditures to the oil and gas industry drilling activity.
The audit cites examples of the money being used to fund general operating expenses for government agencies, as well as a case in Tioga County of a cash advance going to cover expenses during last year's historic budget impasse. In one notable example, North Strabane Township in Washington County spent more than $30,000 on a community party.
The impact fee was used for the bouncy house and the fireworks. Come on, that's crazy.
The township spent $1,200 to hire this guy, American Idol contestant Adam Brock. Township manager Frank Sifrin says that happened the first year they got the money, and in hindsight, it probably wasn't the best way to use it.
It's unfortunate that that was specifically called out, but we really don't think that, you know, that was a violation.
That's because the law gives local governments 13 different ways they can spend the money. And one of the items on that list is parks and recreation. Sifrin says they felt it fit into that category. Since then, they've spent the money on fire protection and road projects.
There is some ambiguity, you know, in the act. And I think that, that there is a problem and that the problem needs to be corrected by the legislature.
That's basically what Auditor General DePasquale thinks, too. He wants the legislature to revisit the law and create stricter financial reporting requirements.
I think those 13 broad categories need to be narrowed, to be more focused on specific impacts of the drilling and not bouncy houses. I'm pro-holiday celebration, just don't think the impact fee should pay for it.
Spokespeople for the Republican majorities in the state House and Senate say the law was intentionally written to give local governments flexibility and control over how the money's spent. But some members are open to making minor tweaks to the law. Marie Cusick, State Impact Pennsylvania.
The vast inland waterway system in the United States that stretches from the Gulf of Mexico to Minnesota is used by more than 20,000 barges. They carry goods, including coal, grain, and road salt. In Pennsylvania, the lock system those barges rely on is on the brink of failure and threatens the state's economic growth. As Keystone Crossroads' Margaret J. Krause reports, Pennsylvania is aiming for the future, but remains locked in the present.
Deckhands from the towboat D.L. Johnson descend to inspect their cargo, a coal barge. They walk around its edges, the gunwales, to make sure everything looks okay. Then they loop Kevlar lines around the barge's timber heads, and a 40-ton winch aboard the D.L. Johnson pulls the barge snug against the boat. Captain Matthew Baumgartner watches from the wheelhouse.
We move a lot of coal for power plants and steel mills. You know, it keeps everybody in electricity and everything.
Moving things by water in Pennsylvania annually generates $6.5 billion and supports almost 40,000 jobs. But it doesn't happen naturally. There's a lot of infrastructure involved. Dams hold back water to create long, navigable pools. Locks allow boats to move from one pool to the next. And together they form a sort of water escalator that allows boats to get over elevation changes.
They're silent, but they're strong.
That's Mark Glocheski. He's a project manager with the Pittsburgh District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. He says there's a 50% probability that by 2028, one of the first three locks on the Upper Ohio River could fail.
I don't want to say it's a flip of the coin because that sounds trite, but at a 50% probability, that's just as likely to happen as not. And so that makes it kind of terrifying.
Glocheski says the infrastructure is crumbling. It would take about $5 billion to rehab and replace locks on the Ohio and Monongahela rivers. If a dam fails, there could be flooding. It could threaten the availability of municipal drinking water. Shipping in the region would grind to a halt.
You'd be able to walk across shore to shore at the point of Pittsburgh and get your ankles wet, and that's it.
Pittsburgh is the reluctant poster child for lock and dam problems. And it stings, because Pennsylvania has always been a great state for water commerce. In the 1800s, Pennsylvania boasted 400 miles of canal. The main line of public works linked Philadelphia to Pittsburgh and points west. It cut travel time from 23 days to 4. The economy exploded. Those locks are mostly gone now, and their immediate descendants, river locks, are relics. Here's Mary Ann Busey. She's executive director of the Port of Pittsburgh Commission, which advocates for funding for western Pennsylvania's rivers and lock rehabilitation.
No one sees them. No one understands how much money it takes. No one understands how old they are. No one understands the ramifications if one of them goes down.
Mike Monahan is president of Campbell Transportation. The marine transportation company owns a fleet of barges and builds and fixes barges. The idea of losing a lock or dam worries him. But Monahan's also worried about Pennsylvania's long game.
You look at future economic investment. I don't think anybody in this country would take a 100-year-old foundation and build a new home on it.
In this analogy, the 100-year-old foundation is the region's water infrastructure, and the new home,
building out new petrochemical plants and using all this energy resource that we have with fracking and coal and all the other products we have up here.
This summer, Shell Chemical Appalachia announced it's building a $6 billion ethane cracker plant in the region. But Busey says it looks like they'll only be using the waterways during the construction phase. Shell did not return a request for comment. Monahan says the future is coming on fast, and unless Pennsylvania acts, we'll miss out.
I have a saying, and it's probably a little hokey, but prior proper planning, you know, prevents piss poor performance. And we need to have that planning, and we need to reinvest so we're ready for this world economy.
Well, it will take years, several billion dollars, and some serious coordination. Everyone is hopeful the region can fix its aging locks and dams. After an extended hiatus, Congress is now back on schedule to approve and fund projects. Monahan calls the waterway system a blessing for this country from God. But, he says, getting around on them? That's up to us. Margaret J. Krause, Keystone Crossroads.
Keystone Crossroads is a statewide initiative reporting on challenges facing Pennsylvania cities. WHYY is the lead station. Finally this evening, baby name lists and books have proliferated for years. Not to be outdone by proud parents, dog owners have weighed in with their own choices. Rover.com is a website matching dog owners with pet services, and it's published a list of the top 100 male and female dog names for 2016. Now, since many dog owners say they consider their furry companions to be family, it's little surprise that human names top the list. Max and Charlie for male dogs, Bella and Lucy for females. And according to their information, more than half of the dogs had regular people names. At the opposite end of the list, some less frequently chosen names pay homage to celebrities, Harry Potter characters, even food like nacho, tater tot, and Vienna sausage. Now, we're guessing that one's a dachshund. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yaakov, Kimberly Haas, Ty Johnson, and Brett Rader. Find us on iTunes or listen back at newsworks.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for NewsWorks Tonight.